We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited to welcome New York Times bestselling author Tom Clavin. Tom, thanks for stopping by, and I we're going to talk about your latest release. How are you, Tom?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me back on your show.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Throne of Grace, A Mountain Man, An Epic Adventure, and The Bloody Conquest of the American West. You know, we talked about before, Tom, how you're really, really seeing the Western as the big, big thing that's happening, and there goes another great story about the American West, right?
Well, it seems like there's an unending stream of American West stories, thankfully, because people like me would be out of business if we didn't have enough stories to go to. And I think with Throne of Grace, I think we have a story that's pretty much been originally untold over the last couple of centuries, and that with our main character being Jedediah Smith. You know, he was an extraordinary explorer. He was really the heir to Lewis and Clark in exploring and opening up the American West. And yet most people would not have heard of him at this point. You know, they've heard of Kit Carson and John C. Fremont and other great explorers, but Jedediah Smith, who's he? Well, that's what Throne of Grace sets out to do, is correct that misrepresentation of a great explorer.
Why is there such a bad misrepresentation of Jedediah Smith?
Well, excuse me. I think one reason is because he didn't live very long and he didn't get a chance. I mean, some of his journals were lost. Some survived. He didn't live very long. He didn't have like Daniel Boone during his lifetime was a legend in his lifetime, but he also lived into, you know, be 80 something years old. So Jedediah Smith did not have anybody advocating for him. He died fairly young and got lost in the mists of history.
And what made you want to write about him?
You know, the first thing that Bob Dre and I wanted to do was revisit the American West and fill a gap that we thought was there. We had our book, Blood and Treasure, about Daniel Boone. Pretty much goes from like the 1700s to 1820. A book we did called The Heart of Everything That Is, about the Lakota Sioux chief, Red Cloud, goes from like about 1850 to 1870. What happened in between 1820 to 1850? And that's what we said, well, we want to do a book on that time period to do a trilogy. We had never set out to do a trilogy. And we're talking about books that were published in different years, of course. But once we were looking to do a story in that time period, we discovered Jedediah Smith. And we said, the more we found out about him, the more amazed we were at the adventures that he had, the experiences, all the ways that he defied death over and over and over again, and what his discoveries meant to what's called manifest destiny, which is the concept that was the European descended people in the East were sort of like ordained to move west. Now, of course, that manifest destiny was very destructive to the indigenous population. But they weren't caring too much about that at the time.
No, not at all. And how did he survive death? What is he? Was he a powerful guy or a good fighter?
I think that's a really good question, because he was not a big bruising guy. He was actually maybe a little bit tall for that time period. He's about 6 feet, but he was rather slender. He was young. He was only 23 years old when he started leading men into the wilderness, the great wilderness that was the American West at the time. He just was, I think. He was so resilient, and he refused to give up. And he's kind of lucky too, that he survived being buried in snow and crossing the Mojave Desert and being attacked by a grizzly bear. This is really an adventure story about an amazing person,
right? And do you think this could be a movie with Jebediah?
You know, that's an interesting question too, because the character of Jeremiah Johnson in the Robert Redford movie is based on Jedediah Smith. It's probably the closest Jedediah Smith came to any kind of fame when that movie came out in the 70s and it was based on him. Now you're talking about decades later. Sure. I mean, I think it would make for a great movie. I think it would be a great limited series, because not only do you have Jedediah Smith, you have so many colorful characters, Jim Bridger, Mike Fink, Tom Broken Hand Fitzpatrick, all these other mountain men surrounding Jedediah Smith. And the beautiful landscape that was the America of the 1820s, west of the Missouri, discussing a white man seeing for the first time, which Jim Bridger did, the Salt Lake, for example, seeing the Rocky Mountains for the first time, seeing the deserts of the Southwest for the first time.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about this character and thinking about specifically enough what he did, how did he survive a grizzly bear? Because that's got to be a tale. Is that a true tale?
It's a true tale. It's documented by people who accompanied him, who put this incident in their own journals. And he's attacked by a grizzly bear. His ear was almost torn off. His scalp, part of his scalp was torn off. he suffered all kinds of other injuries. And finally, a good thing the bear was distracted. They managed to distract the bear, and the bear lumbered off, leaving him. And you can imagine what the state of medicine was at the time in 1822, 1823.
Yeah.
They actually took basically a needle and thread and sewed his face back together. And he always carried scars. I mean, he wasn't terribly disfigured, but he always had scars. And he on one side of his head, he wore his hair longer than the other side so it could cover the worst scar that was on the side of his face. But that was an example. I mean, another 1 minute or 2 minutes more of that attack by the grizzly bear, and there's no way he would have survived.
Do you think he breaks the rules too?
You know, he certainly breaks the actuarial rules. No way he should have lived, you know, past his 20s because of all the scrapes he was in, all the times that he and his companions ran out of water, or they were stuck in a snowdrift and their mules and had died, and there was no way to get out. So I think as far as breaking rules like laws and stuff like that, no, he was a man of religious faith, and he actually was, you know. He was actually kind of abnormal for the time. Not that there weren't other people of religious faith at the time, but for the mountain men, their faith, their God, so to speak, was nature. That's what they encountered. That's what they lived 365 days a year, sometimes for years at a time. But Jedediah Smith was religious. He really believed there was an afterlife, and to live a virtuous life is how he got there.
So what kind of God did he believe in?
He was pretty traditional in his Christian beliefs. He carried a Bible with him wherever he went. And in fact, the title Throne of Grace was his phrase that he used to describe where God sat. You know, he had this pretty standard view of the afterlife. We had this, you know, what we realize now is this white Anglo-Saxon God figure, the father figure in the Holy Trinity. Well, he believed that. You know, he's not the only one certainly in the 1820s who believed that, but he did believe that if you lived your life as well as possible and followed the golden rule, and were honest and worked hard and did all these other really good things, that you, when you die, you will get to sit near the throne of grace.
Do you think they kept him out of the history books because of him, how he was a conquistador in so many ways, using that word, which is more Spanish, you know what I'm saying, in the way that.
I don't think so. I don't think there was a bias against him because of him being sort of the point of the spear of manifest destiny, because he was not the only man. I think he was the most remarkable one.
So Lewis and Clark were the same in manifest destiny, you think, or not?
They were really the first ones. I mean, this is before the phrase manifest destiny was coined, was the Lewis and Clark expedition from 1803 to 1806. And they made the one trip from St. Louis to the West Coast and back. And that was the first time that you had a group of white men making this trip through almost completely indigenous lands to the Pacific, seeing the Pacific Ocean, and coming back and living to tell the tale. And the journals were published a few years later. I think with Jedediah Smith, he made three trips like that, taking different routes so that he was discovering more of the country. Why he's not in the history books, I think it's, again, he died young. And I think that he was soon eclipsed by people like Kit Carson, by people like John C. Fremont, by Davy Crockett, by some of these other people that got more attention as explorers.
No, 100%. You know, so based on what's happening, I mean, it's very, very intriguing what his story is. How has been the feedback of the book, people that have read it so far?
You know, we've got it. The book is being published May 7th is the pub date. So we haven't really had much feedback from the consumer, the book buying public. But we got a starred review in Kirkus Review. Booklist gave it a great review. We've got a great review just came out in the Washington Times. Just got a great review over the weekend in the Los Angeles Times.
That's great.
We have not seen the New York Times yet. We haven't seen the Wall Street Journal yet because I think the book is still just coming out. But so far, people who have read it and reviewed it have really seemed to like it. And one of the things I'm glad they picked up on is it's a dramatic adventure page-turning story. I mean, it's packed with information, of course, and it's well-researched, but what good does that do if people don't want to turn the page and find out what happens next? It's sort of like Jedediah Smith was one of those people that wanted to know what's on the other side of this mountain, what's on the other side of this desert, what's on the other side of this river. Well, when we write a book, Bob Drury and I, we want to have people, the readers, think, what's in the next chapter? What's on the next page?
That's what makes you guys such great writers.
Thank you. And it's also, but his life was so adventurous. I mean, like I said, surviving grizzly bears. Wow. Flash floods, surviving lightning storms, surviving hurricanes on the West Coast. You know, that kind of stuff is thankfully, been mostly overlooked for the last two centuries.
Do you think that now the history will start to think of him more out there in the history books?
Well, we certainly hope so. Every so often a book comes along that offers a new or complete view of somebody who had got underrepresented by the history books in the past. We're hoping that's the case with Jedediah Smith. I mean, Lewis and Clark are rightly celebrated for what they did. It was an enormous accomplishment what they did. But then came Jedediah Smith, and it is kind of strange that he fell off the table of history.
Do you think his Bible could be one of the reasons? And then was he trying to convert, kind of like later on?
No, he did not. He was not one of those that was going out there to try and go to indigenous people and convert them to Christianity. That was not him at all. He was a big believer in let people live the way they live, and he had a lot of. He gained a lot of respect for the Indians. He was fascinated by the way they lived and cared for themselves. And also, there were many tribes showed great kindness and courtesy to Jedediah Smith. There were times when he and his company with him were barely surviving. They hadn't shot any game in days, and they were out of food. And they would come to an Indian tribe, and the Indian tribe would say, "Here, we don't have much ourselves, but we'll give you some of it." So sometimes their lives were saved by Indian tribes.
Wow, this is very intriguing stuff. Where's the best place people can purchase the book? It's available tomorrow again. So having it out on the radio show tomorrow, because of definitely knowing the release dates tomorrow, people could check it out by going to Amazon or any of the independent bookstores, right? Or anywhere.
Yeah, we encourage people to support your local independent bookstore. Go to Amazon, go to B&M at Barnes & Noble. Check out my website at tomclavin.com. You can purchase it through there too. We hope people will. We think that's really going to be a good read that people are going to say, "Wow, I never knew about all this in America."
All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.